everyone. Welcome back to the Enduring Churches podcast. I'm Trent Young. I'm here with my good friend, Alan Small. And we're excited today, Alan. We've got a guest with us. And so why don't you introduce our guest in our interview?
Trent. So we wanted to broaden the horizon. So we've got someone who's in Florida with us today. So we're very glad to have Brian Smith with us. He is with the Evangelical Presbyterian Convention, and he works in the area of communications with them, but he does a lot. It's not a large denomination, but so you get to wear a few extra hats. And so we're so glad to have you with us. And the cool part is that Trent and I, when we were in college, we were each the president of our Baptist student ministry, but sandwiched in between us in our reigns in that prestigious role.
Very prestigious,
Was your wife, Paula, and so it's kind of cool that we have this very neat connection working today.
Yeah, we're so glad to have you, Brian.
Great, thank you. I'm blessed to be here. Look forward to our time together. Let's have some fun.
Yeah. It will be. So Brian, tell us, you know, we Alan mentioned that we know your wife, Paula. Tell us a little bit more about you and your family and where you're at, what you're doing.
Of course. As Alan mentioned, I'm the Director of Communications for the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. We're a denomination of about 630 Presbyterian churches. We call ourselves Presbyterian, Reformed, Evangelical, and Missional Congregations. Conservative, theologically, Orthodox would be the term we use. But as a denomination, we are heavily invested in church planting, church revitalization, missions, primarily into the Muslim world, and equipping and discipleship are some of the strategic priorities that we hold as a denomination. Paul and I, we've been married, it was 20 years in September. I was serving on staff at a large Southern Baptist church in the Dallas area when we met, got married, and I've kind of bounced around in ministry, you know, kind of ever since then. I actually accepted Christ in the 80s, in my fourth year in college at University of Florida. You know, I was called to ministry back then, but I didn't realize it at the time. You know, kind of didn't really know what that looked like. And I've been in ministry in one form or another really since 1986 or so, except for a few years, you know, in between when I was in between calls and did some other things. So, you know, I've served in denominational communications roles, PR director at the seminary I attended for my MDiv work, State Baptist Convention level, mission agencies, and then for 20 years, I was on local church staffs as communications director for two large Southern Baptist churches. I was also a business administrator for a multi-campus megachurch in the South, also served as an executive pastor for a mid-sized church in the Midwest, and have been in my current role as here at the EPC since 2014, so going on 7 years now here. Mm.
Yeah, so we met each other, what, about eight, 9 years ago? I was working on some doctoral seminars and happened to meet you. And we ate a lot of barbecue in New Orleans at a place called The Joint.
It's always smoking.
Yeah, it's always smoking. Great tagline on that.
This is how rumors get started about
it. Well, they need to send us a couple of dollars for that plug, don't they?
That's exactly right.
They do, or at least some barbecue. They don't have to give me any money. Just give me the barbecue. So
that'll work.
Yeah. Alan
and I did our doctoral work together. Alan finished his. I did not, but we got to know each other back then, 08, 09, you know, 2010. So, yeah, known each other good number of years now, and actually connected through my wife, who, you know, you guys have gone to college together.
Yeah. She reached out and said, "Hey, you're both starting seminars," and so we connected, and we had a blast when we'd be able to connect for different seminars down there. So I got to know a little bit about you and your background, and a little bit about communications. And communications has all of a sudden become something that was kind of a backseat driver in church life, to all of a sudden it's in the front seat trying to take over the steering wheel right now. So talk to us a little bit about communication and what's been changing in the church landscape regarding communication.
Of course. You know, if you've been in church life for any real length of time, you see trends. You know, for a while, the missions pastor was the hot thing everyone was looking for, and then children's ministers, you know, for a while were the hot thing. There's been any number of roles. Currently, you know, communications and tech guys and gals are, you know, kind of the hot commodity. And, you know, like a lot of those other trends, I don't think there's any single reason, but I do see a number of contributing factors. Primary one is technology has just changed. You know, used to be a church would have a yellow page ad, maybe a newspaper ad. The larger churches might do a TV or a radio broadcast of their services. But, you know, all of those required at least some level of tech expertise and certainly a budget commitment. But now everybody has a phone in their pocket, and it's a publishing and a broadcast platform. Free outlets like YouTube, Facebook Live, low cost or even free websites, you know, things like that. So every church at every level has been able to get in the game much more so than they ever could. Secondly, and related to that, is pretty much everyone my age and younger, they use tech on a daily basis. You know, folks in their 40s and 30s and even younger, they've been tethered to tech their entire lives. It's second nature. You know, so it's just natural for those folks to bring tech into their church. And as we know, the smart church leader is the church leader who plugs their members into the roles where they can use their giftings and passions for the kingdom. So that's been key. Mm-hmm. And in the last year, specifically with the pandemic and the shutdown that forced churches online, even the smallest churches had to adapt if they wanted to be relevant and keep their people connected. So those have been some real big changes.
And so, Brian, as you're talking about that, I mean, we talk to different sizes of churches, but you mentioned, you know, that we've all got this gadget and we carry around with us, and it's like an umbilical cord. We can't get rid of our phones, right? But are there areas that churches have messed up in? You know, some of us were forced into this communication deal in the last year. Are there things that churches have done that have maybe been wrong for them or a mess up?
Oh, sure. You know, like anybody who adopts something new, you learn on the fly many times, mm-hmm. even if you're experienced. You know, there's going to be speed bumps and hiccups you don't anticipate. That just sort of goes with it. So that really is a great question. And there's really a number of different ways to think about that. Of course, there's the 30,000 foot view. And then there's down in the weeds, you know, where the practitioners live. Mm-hmm. Pastors, you know, like you guys, you're more likely to fly up in the clouds, while the communications director like me, you know, we're the ones who carry the weed eaters. So there's different pitfalls to watch out for at every level. So I think the first is a failure to know your audience. Okay, now I know that can be a marketing term, and the church can be reluctant to adopt secular terminology, but I think the principle is important. I mean, think about Acts 1:8. Okay, we're told we'll be witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Mm-hmm. Well, those are four very different groups, right?
Right.
Now, it says set aside the geographical connotation, okay, of the concentric circles, but from a people group standpoint, which is which? Who's Samaria? Who's Jerusalem? You know, the family that lives in the house behind the church parking lot could well be Samarian, while Jerusalem, demographically speaking, could be miles away. Okay, now this can be particularly true for a downtown type of church, or maybe an inner ring suburb that's like mostly white, yet the neighborhood around the church building just is not anymore, perhaps.
Right. So,
who is the church trying to reach? You know, the methods may not work cross, you know, pollination. What works for one may not work for another. So it's important to know who you're trying to reach. Secondly, it's a failure of the church knowing itself. Okay. Are you an aging congregation in a transitioning neighborhood? Thinks you have everything a young family wants in a church? Maybe you're an urban hipster church, wonders why you don't have any business executives whose tithe would be a significant boost to the budget, right? Let's take that to the hands-on level. You know, I've visited churches and consulted with the churches, you know, over the years whose website, you know, had pictures of happy, attractive young families. Yet I attended a service and they didn't have anyone who looked like that. Pastor's wife, you know, at best, but beyond that, you know, just they didn't portray who they really were. Now it can be tricky to project who you'd like to be without being completely disingenuous.
Right.
But the principle of not knowing who you are you know, can too easily lead to mixed messages. So down to the weeds a little bit, from you know, communication failure standpoint, there are simple things like typos on your website, right?
I'm a walking typo.
Yeah.
You know, we've all made them. Of course, that's the beauty of the web. I used to say everyone makes mistakes. Some of us, they're just in print and permanent. Mm-hmm. The website you can fix. Outdated information, like an event that happened 2 weeks or longer ago, you know, those can hinder a church's effectiveness in reaching people. You know, let's go back 10, 20 years ago when websites were a little bit more of the new thing. Of course, they're, you know, daily basis now, but when they were a little, when they weren't quite the latest, greatest thing, there were kind of four ways a church would be known in the community, right? There was the church building itself, the curb appeal. What did it look like as people drove by? Overgrown, nicely painted, big, small, you know, you name it. The second would be the personality of the pastor. How does he preach? What does he preach? You know, all that. What's the worship music like? Up-tempo, traditional. We all know the wide spectrum of what that could be. And then the fourth would be the church communications. What does their external reach look like? Whether that's in the old days would be an ad in the newspaper or your Yellow Pages ad. Maybe it's the signage of the church. Maybe it's radio, TV ads. As websites became more prevalent, what's your web presence look like? Now, of all of those four, the only one the person can really do from their couch is the communication side. Mm-hmm. Okay. Unless a church is broadcasting its services, the preaching style and personality of the pastor has a much more limited reach. Same with the worship. The curb appeal of the facility, you only catch it if you're driving by, but the communication effort was reached into people's homes and off the campus. Now, fast forward to where we have websites, same thing applies. Your website is the primary entrance point for visitors, interested parties, you know, whatever. Google search, what's a church in town? What's going to pop up and what to look at it? So, you know, that's key. And like it or not, the standards these days are the flashy graphics done with excellence by companies with unlimited budgets or seemingly unlimited. You know, folks are watching ESPN, Disney,
right,
CNN or Fox or whatever news outlet they prefer, the Weather Channel.
Right.
You know, typos, you know, the kind of things like that, they're just rare. You know, we see and laugh about the memes on social media about the church bulletin typos, you know, church signs that have funny things. You know, that's just kind of real. So that's, you know, those are just things that I see as, you know, potential roadblocks to effective communication. Where a church is failing, well, you know, you have an event that was 2 weeks ago on your website. It kind of tells me you're not all that on top of it. So a third item on that list goes back to knowing your audience and knowing the difference between internal and external communication. Okay. Your members and regular attenders are going to know things and use churchy language, perhaps, that those not involved in the church are just, you know, not going to know. Years and years ago, I went to a church that told their members on time change weekend, come at the time you'd been coming. We're not going to change our clocks until after the worship service. Okay, well, imagine the confusion for a visitor who came an hour early.
Yeah.
Well, they drove in as everyone was leaving. But they were just so inward focused, we're going to, you know, do for our folks and their kind of thing. So, you know, having said all that, I think really the most glaring failure in church communications is not communicating at all. Yeah. Every church, no matter how small, how rural, resource poor, whatever, every church should have an online presence. I mean, a Facebook page costs nothing.
No.
Do a quick search on free website and you'll see page after page of options. And those have templates that'll look good. Now, some of them may have ads, but they will look good. You got to have that. You
know? Yeah.
And no church should have a website that screams 1996, right?
Yeah. Well, and some of them have, that's their stuff that's on their website is still from things that happened in 1996. You know?
True.
Yeah, well, you got to highlight the orange carpet from 1960.
Yeah. So, yeah. Can't miss that.
That's important.
Now, I guess if you looked at the EPC website, you might you could catch me and you know, preaching my own language here. But the point is, at the very least, you know, you need your worship service times, where you're located, who they can contact for questions or more information. I mean, there's just no reason to not have that. Yeah. I mean, I call it the online business card.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
Well, you know, go ahead, Brian.
I was just going to say, you know, there's a lot of solo bivocational pastors who, you know, they frankly don't have the time or the knowledge to set these things up. But still, reach out to a larger church in your area, you know, or your local high school, and just ask if they have a student who wants to earn $20. You know, I think you'd be surprised at how honored they were that you asked. And they can do it in their sleep.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, about a year ago, we decided we were not doing a good enough job with our website. So we actually outsource ours now. And it's a significant chunk of change. But the difference it made during a pandemic year was easily observable. We have a so much better front door than we once had. You know, and every guest that I talked to, they watched a service on our website before they ever came. And that's just how it is. So obviously you mentioned that a website, a decent website, a good, like you call it entryway or business card is essential. What else is essential? Because obviously I think when you said the biggest problem is you're not communicating. What are some other essentials in communication that we need to focus on?
Well, it's what I just described as weaknesses. You know, don't do those. Yeah. I know that's simple, but know yourself, know your church. You know, what's your DNA? Are you a fellowship-oriented church? Hey, play that up, right? If you're an evangelism-oriented church, emphasize that, right? If missions is what you guys are doing, 12 mission trips a year and all that, know yourself and communicate that. Okay. Secondly, know your audience. You know, who are you trying to reach? Of course, we all want to, you know, all things to all people, right? We want to reach everybody with the gospel. And certainly that scriptural worthy goal, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But no single local church can reach everybody.
That's right.
So know your audience. Is it a 1 mile radius of your campus? Is it a 3 mile radius? Do you have multi campuses? And so you have multiple radiuses or, you know, no radio time to reach. There you go. Are you multicultural, multi ethnic? Are you not, but you'd like to be? You know, all those come into play with knowing, you know, who you're trying to reach with your gospel. And when you know yourself, you're much more effective in knowing how to reach those both like you and not like you, because you can bridge, you know, some of those gaps and shore up those weaknesses. Thirdly, have that online presence we talked about. And this is key. And Alan, goes to your point about being Dr. Typo. Always, always get a second or third set of eyes on things before you go live. I would venture to say probably 80% of us, maybe higher, pastors, you know, men in church work, have your wife look over this stuff. Her eyes are better than ours.
Yeah.
And as we see things and do things, we know what they are supposed to say, not what they do say.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I know even I posted something on our denominational news channel last week. We're having, because of the COVID shutdown and all that, we normally do an annual equipping meeting. It's in the summer. Well, we didn't do it last year. So we pivoted, and our church revitalization guys set up a monthly series of church revitalization workshops. We're doing it by Zoom. And so a week or so out, just as a reminder of the next session, which was last night, I post something on our news. Session 3 of the workshop is coming. Well, I had the wrong date on it, right?
Mm. Well,
I knew it was January 27th. I typed in January 25th. I violated my own principle, didn't have anybody look at it, posted it, and then started getting email questions. What day is it? It says Wednesday the 25th. When is it? So, you know, get a second or third set of eyes on things before you go live. That'll help a lot. And it, you know, doesn't have to be a paid professional in the news business, right? Just, hey, does this say what I want it to say? That's all it takes. That'll go a long way.
Oh, yeah. Well, Brian, I know that you're involved with your denomination, and plus you have background in Baptist life too. And And so you have exposure to a whole lot of different churches and what they're doing. What are some things that you're seeing that are really good? I mean, we talked about the basics, but what are some things that maybe are new things that churches have available to them, or just things that some churches are doing really well?
You know, what I've seen, particularly over the last year, and it's not so much communications oriented, although that's certainly a significant part of it, is pastors and church leaders and churches are just amazing and resilient. And we've watched them pivot with the needs. You know, when the country shut down 10, 11 months ago, churches responded. Told you can't meet? We have 4 days to get our service online somehow.
Yeah.
And the church rose to the occasion. I mean, how do we keep our people connected when they're not comfortable leaving their home? Mm-hmm. We ramp up our connection ministries. We make phone calls, deliver meals. I mean, in my own denomination, EPC, it's been amazing to watch how churches have met the challenges head on. And, you know, we have churches doing things they either never imagined they would do, or they maybe had in a long range plan out there somewhere, but, you know, they had to implement it on the fly, and they did it. You know, churches that never had an online presence figured out how to put their worship services online. And in many cases, they're reaching more people than ever before. So it's been neat to watch that. And the tools, you know, we all have this publishing platform in our pocket because the tools and the technology exist. Zoom. I mean, how many Bible studies launched on Zoom a year ago as the new thing? Mm-hmm. Now, a year later, we're all tired of Zoom. And
no doubt. That's
the Hollywood Squares or Brady Bunch Grid or whatever is wearing us out. But a year ago, it was new. No one was doing it, or very few. And now it's the standard for church Bible study and small group ministry. So it's been amazing to see I think at some level in God's providence, had this pandemic hit 10 years ago, 15 years ago, the technology just didn't exist to do what churches are doing now. So that's been pretty crazy to see.
Right.
Yeah, churches are anytime, any place, you know. We're going to actually put little cards in our Operation Christmas Child boxes this year that have our church website so that a kid gets a Christmas basket, but they can check out a worship service and work on their English as a second language thing, you know, and watch our service. But who says you can't have membership all around the world now? It's amazing.
That's right. That's right. You know, perhaps an unintended consequence of all that is churches that, even the ones that were online before, you know, people have gotten used to attending Bedside Baptist or Living Room Lutheran or Recliner Presbyterian, you know. So as our churches have reopened, in-person attendance is down. And of course, that can be discouraging for, you know, pastors. You guys are working just as hard, if not harder, and seeing fewer folks in person. So it's not all, unicorns and roses, but there is still that silver lining and God's providence underneath or and over the whole thing. You know, it's been pretty wild.
Brian, I also wanted to ask, and because you've had lots of different roles and you've seen lots of different things, are there things, and we didn't give you this question ahead of time, but are there things that you would encourage those in ministry? You're in more an administrative role, but in any ministry, it seems like right now there's a lot of depression and frustration in ministry. And so are there any things that you would encourage those in ministry with?
Absolutely. You know, our pastors are tired. We're all tired, right? I mean, if you can remember Flatten the Curve, does anyone remember that anymore?
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, a year ago, we were going to flatten the curve, and by Easter, we'd, you know, probably be back in business. And here we are a year later, and, you know, in some places, you know, churches are still closed, and we're all just tired, right? Political polarization in our country, I mean, that's in the church.
Yeah.
Example, take face masks. I mean, in many cases that I'm aware of, seems whatever church leadership decides, there's church members on the opposite end of the spectrum, okay? And it's who gets the calls and emails, pastors, right? From we won't return until mass are required to I'm not coming if masks are required, right?
Right. And you can't win.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just face masks. That's a convenient example. But, you know, pastors are working twice as hard in many cases as before, and it can be discouraging. But I think the key to that is get someone that you can lean on. You know, pastors in your community are in the same boat you are, right? All pastors are on an island to some degree, right? Don't dig the moat around your island any deeper than it already is. You know, call your brothers and sisters in Christ who are leading the churches in your community. Have a support group. You know, you're all in the same thing together. Build each other up. Iron sharpens iron, right? And every church leader has the same basic people, you know, in his or her church, right? So very little is going to be new under the sun, you know, as far as what they're hearing from their congregation on any number of issues. And, you know, a lot of that, I'm convinced, is a result of our people being tired. You know, we talk about our pastors and church leaders being worn out from all of this discourse, especially on social media over the past 3, 6, 9 months, you know, has been poison in many cases. You know, our people are living in that world too. They've lost jobs, right? They're those who haven't, their industries and places of business and stuff, they're just different than they were. So how can they reach out and lash out? Well, in many cases, they're lashing out to their church. You know, the church has kind of been, for a lot of folks who have been in church for decades, maybe that's been the stability in their lives. Their job changes around them. Their family's changing around them as they become empty nesters or whatever. Right. And if the church changes around them too, that's a lot of change. And again, the pastor bears the brunt of that. So get your head on someone's shoulder and give your shoulder, you know, to someone else, and you'll build each other up. Kingdom will be benefit from you. And, you know, you may learn a new, number one, you get a new friend, which is never a bad thing.
Right.
And you may well learn a new way to cope. And, but it's not just about receiving. You'll bless others too. And that's, you know, that's a lot of why we're in this.
That's true.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Now, Brian, I want to throw you another curveball real quick. I was going through some of my emails today, and I get emails from some groups that I responded to an ad or something, and they email me every day for the rest of my life until I unsubscribe from them. And a lot of them I don't want to hear from again. So how often should churches be communicating to their membership information about what's going on in the church and all those kinds of things right now? It seems to me to kind of be a tricky question.
Yeah, that's actually a great question. And there's a great principle behind it for your audience who are musicians. You know, if you put a cymbal crash on every beat, when you really want that to emphasize, it's just another cymbal crash and it gets lost in the noise, right?
That's true.
So if you're sending out a message about every little thing, eventually they're just going to get deleted without being responded to. So it's really on a case-by-case basis, you know, it's specific to your church. If you're a big church and you have a lot going on and a lot of different age groups you're reaching and all that kind of stuff, you just sort of have to, in some ways, figure that out on your own. But the largest of the churches that'll have specific age-graded ministers, youth department, the children's department, the ladies group, the men's group, you know, they'll have their own pastors communicating with their people. From an overall church standpoint, you know, I would limit it to your, what I call a tier one audience. That's the sermon series, the sermon, the major event that affects everybody in the church. The pastor shouldn't be communicating about an age-graded event. That's a tier two event. Now, that would be a tier one event maybe for your youth or student minister, the youth lock-in. That's a tier two or tier three events for the pastor. So Alan, your name, unless you're the youth pastor, shouldn't be on, you know, that thing. So
it'd be a typo anyway.
There you go. So, but from a general, general perspective, once a week from church-wide as a reminder of the sermon or service times would be perhaps the maximum. couple times a month, maybe. It really kind of depends on the church. Knowing yourself and knowing your audience comes into play with mm-hmm. that too, right?
Right.
So there's no, I guess what I'm saying is there's no single answer to that question for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm glad you said those things, Brian, because both Alan and I are from marketing backgrounds, worked in advertising and sales and different things. And so what that clicks with us, knowing yourself, knowing your audience, and that's really important. A lot of churches don't think marketing, and they should. I mean, we're called to market Jesus. That sounds very crass, but it's really true. We're trying to get the word out about Jesus, and so the ways that we do that are important.
Well, they are, and what you just said is key. The ways we do that will change over time. Mm-hmm. I mentioned earlier in our conversation, in the old days, you had a newspaper or Yellow Pages ad. Mm-hmm. I don't know if any church is doing a Yellow Page ad anymore. No, I'm sure there are some. So the way is different. The message itself, Jesus and Jesus crucified, rose again on the third mm-hmm. day, that does not change and will never change. But the way we communicate that has to in order to continue to reach people. And I think that's sure. a misperception among churches who say they don't want to deal with marketing. It's a focus on the subject of the message rather than the method of the message. And that there's a very significant difference, critical difference.
That's true.
Here's a great example of a church that has stepped up to the plate and really hit a home run, exactly to your point here. In the early weeks of the shutdown last spring, one of our churches, rural church, less than 50 in attendance, right? They spent $100 on a low-power radio transmitter that had a range of a couple hundred feet. Right? You've seen these, yeah. The big Christmas mm-hmm. display, the house that times their music, you drive by yeah. and you listen to it, right? That's what they did. Okay, it reached the edges of their parking lot, mm-hmm. but that was it. Well, the pastor stood on the second floor fire escape, preached to a drive-in congregation who tuned into the car radios, okay? And it's a rural church, limited resources, but a deacon got an idea from some family member in a larger city who had told them about this. Well, they checked out to see if it would work for them. They committed to it, they pulled it off. They blessed their members, they blessed the community. You know, it was neat. It was neat for everybody. And part of the neatness of that was, hey, we did this.
Yeah.
This was right. really outside the box for us, and mm-hmm. we did it. Now, it was a $100 thing off of Amazon, and they plugged it into their soundboard, and that's all it took. And they went to Kinko's and printed up some signs, you know, to go in the parking lot. So to our point today, they communicated it well, right? They emailed and called their congregation. Hey, we're gonna do this next Sunday. We've been home for a month. We're gonna have drive-in church. People right. needed, you know, the first few days of the shutdown was kind of exciting, right? Everybody bought jigsaw puzzles and all that. But after a month, you know, we need to, especially the extroverts, we need to be with our friends again.
So amen.
Word got out in the community. They put these signs in the parking lot with the radio frequency, and word got out in the community. It was a blessing to a lot of the people, you know, mm-hmm. and it was just, you know, a really neat thing. They took a risk, and it paid off. And I don't know if they're still doing it. I haven't talked to them in quite a while, but from a communication standpoint, they knew themselves, they knew their audience, they tried something, and it was a home run.
That's a great example. And I appreciate that. And, you know, and I appreciate the work that you're doing, Brian, because I know that not only are you helping your administrative offices and for your denomination, but you're also investing in some of those churches around the nation in your denomination. And now I appreciate your time because you're helping more churches to do and to think through those things. So thank you very much for taking time with us.
Oh, I'm blessed to be with you. You know, if God can use some of the experiences that I've had over the years, the speed bumps that I've hit, you know, if I can help people avoid some of those, then, you know, the stub toe is worth it for sure. So anytime.
Yeah. So Brian, how would someone reach out to you if they had a question? Maybe they even have a question about what it means to become a part of your church group, or how would they reach out to you?
Of course. Well, our website is epc.org, short and simple. epc.org. We have a staff listing. You'll see me down there, but it's, if they want to email me direct, it's brian.smith, and that's Brian with an I, brian.smith@epc.org. And yeah, I'm glad to serve as a resource. I do that on a daily basis. You know, a big part of what I do is just to be available to answer questions, not just on a communication standpoint, but you know, we've been able to help a number of our churches with things like using Zoom for a business meeting. You know, for example, we do a lot of those kind of things. So yeah, I'm glad to serve, glad to do it.
We did our church business meeting in person and with Zoom this past Sunday. And man, that was confusing. It's like, yeah. People on the computer, what did they say? Mm-hmm. I had to repeat everything. And yeah. I did a horrible, horrible job with it. But I'll be better next time. So
there you go. That's all things to all people right there. Right. Alan Hybrid Small.
Good. Yeah. If your people get enough of me in one venue, they don't need me in two. That's for sure. Yeah. So
we actually anyway. did our denominational meeting similar to the Southern Baptist Convention annual meeting. We did ours last summer fully by Zoom. Oh. And we had about 660 wow. of our closest friends on. That was the biggest Brady Bunch grid you ever seen.
No kidding.
And, you know, we met folks raised their hand virtually, and we had a lot of input, you know, toward various motions, you know, business coming before the church and all that kind of thing. And, you know, it was stressful and it was new. And at the end mm-hmm. of it, as people said goodbye and signed off, I heard someone say, can we do this again this way next year?
Yeah.
Really?
Which made it worth it.
Yeah. It'd be a whole lot more better to do business on Zoom and just get together to hang out than get together to do business, wouldn't it?
Exactly.
Yes, it would.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, guys, I've enjoyed this time, and I know that these are things that are important for those who listen to us, watch this, to grasp and to put into play. Just a reminder that Brian mentioned to us that we need to know ourselves, know all about our church, what makes us who we are, also know our audience, and then play up those strengths. Make sure you have those basic communication blocks checked. We want your church to do well, and we want you to do well personally. We want you to endure. So we're so thankful that you listened today and or watched. And if we can do anything to come alongside you, I know that Alan and I would love to do that. And so, Alan, how can they get in contact with us?
Yeah, so we've got our Facebook page, our website at enduringchurches.com, or they can email us, Alan, A-L-A-N, at enduringchurches.consulting, or Trent at enduringchurches.consulting, and Trent is spelled the traditional T-R-E-N-T. And anyway, we would love to hear from you. There's so many things we can do to walk alongside you, and it's our honor to be able to do that. So very appreciative of you joining us today.